All right, amen, amen, amen. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. Oh, let the people rejoice, amen, the old hymn says. Praise the Lord, what a blessing. I am thankful to be here today, thankful for what the Lord is going to do, thankful for what He's already done. I was sharing with Brother Jason and back before a service this morning during our prayer time, just how thankful I am and grateful I am today. I've been just excited for what God is going to do, but I'm also thankful for what God has done, for the people that He has put into my life. And I mean, He knew that we would be here this day. He knew exactly where we would be on the 5th of June, 2016. He knew who would be here. He knew who would be, like I said, in our days, our friends. And it's exciting to think of how God has put certain people into our lives. And for me, I'm a little bit excited today, but a little more grateful today for whatever particular reason. I don't know. But I am. I'm very grateful for what the Lord has done and what He is doing. Amen. And so we're going to continue forward this morning. Let's go ahead and get into the Word of God. We're going to continue in our What Is Your Faith series. And we'll be in Hebrews chapter 11 to start off with this morning. Hebrews chapter 11. And then, of course, we will run over to the book of Genesis, the book of Genesis. And I may cheat just a little bit here and stick a bookmark over in Genesis, around 30-something. And we'll be in there, bounce around just a little bit in the Holy Scriptures today. But it is a great day to be saved. It is a great day to be alive. And guys, I understand, with all the things that are going on in the world and all the tragedies and all of the turmoil, it's easy to get, kind of discouraged and in despair. But the bottom line, our dependency today is not in the political system. It's not in the government. It's not in the flesh and blood. Our dependency this morning is in the risen Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ, who stepped out of the grave, amen, on the third day. We've heard here recently of some famous people who have passed away, and one of which who proclaimed to be the greatest thing on the face of the planet, and he was the greatest. He was called, and I'm not here to smear anyone at all or say anything negative, but I saw a post that went out this morning, early this morning. I saw it early this morning. I don't know when it was posted, but a young man, a friend of mine, he is a friend of mine, pastor. He put this statement out there. He said that Muhammad Ali said he was the greatest. And then he paused for a second. He says, "I'll give him 3 days." You get that, amen? Now, again, it's sad that he has passed on. And again, I'm not trying to speak ill of the dead by any means whatsoever. He struggled for many, many years with Parkinson's. And so I understand that. But there is only one greatest in all the creation, and that is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is the one that when he breathed his last breath on that cross of Calvary, 3 days later, he came up out of that grave and proclaimed victory over death and victory over the grave. He paid the penalty for sin on the cross, amen? And then he paved the way for our salvation when he came out of the grave 3 days later. What a blessing. Stand with me, if you will, this morning as we honor the reading of the Word of God. One verse we're going to read, Hebrews in chapter 11, will be in verse 21. Hebrews in chapter 11. I do appreciate your willingness to stand, or at least making it look like you're willing to stand. Amen. I appreciate that. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 21. This is what the Bible says. It says, "By faith, when he was dying," "by faith, Jacob, when he was a dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshipped," here's our key thought this morning, "leaning upon the top of his staff." I'd like to speak to you this morning in our series of What Is Your Faith on the topic of Jacob's depending faith. Jacob's depending faith. Father in heaven, we pray a special blessing upon the reading of thy word. We ask you, dear Lord, to help us focus upon the Word of God this morning. Help us, dear God, look toward the heavens, look into thy Holy Script today, and apply it into our life, Lord, so that we may be able to better serve you in this world. Father, you've given us a certain amount of days, a certain amount of hours, a certain amount of minutes, a certain amount of seconds. Let them, my Lord, be filled with opportunities and times to please you, living a life by faith, depending upon you, not only, Lord, for our daily needs, but dear God, I pray that we would depend on You in a great way of the opportunities and doors that You and only You can open. Blesses my heart to hear the testimonies of our people, dear God, that are having an effect on other people's lives. Just out of our little church here in Sharon, Lord, of how co-workers and neighbors and family and friends are being affected by the teaching and preaching of the Word of God from the lives of those here in our midst. Bless them, dear God. Continue to open up doors that we could never open and allow no man that they could be shut. In Jesus Christ's glorious name, we ask these things. Amen and amen. Thank you so much, and please be seated. The Bible says that Jacob blessed these children, these sons of Joseph he's speaking of, while leaning upon his staff. I want to say that to you this morning, that Jacob had a depending faith as he was dependent upon that staff to hold him up. The staff was his provision. The staff was his propensity. This staff was his prop, if you will. And in his final days, Jacob gives us a picture of faith depending upon the Lord. A depending faith, that one could say. Yet in Isaiah 41 in verse 14, speaking of Israel by the name of Jacob, the Bible says, "Fear not, thou worm Jacob, and ye men of Israel, I will help thee, saith the Lord, and thy Redeemer, the Holy One of Israel." I want you to turn in your Bibles and just hold your place there, if you will, in Hebrews chapter 11. We'll come back at a later moment in this morning's message. But in Genesis in chapter 32 this morning, this is what we find. Notice this, I know the reference in Isaiah 41, speaking necessarily to the nation of Israel, but this is where that comes from. If you look in Genesis 32 and verse 28, and the Bible says, "And he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel, for as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed." God says, "Thou worm Jacob," speaking of them as a nation named after this descendant here of Isaac and Abraham. Yet in the book of Genesis, we find when his name is changed from Jacob to Israel, we find that God calls him a prince. You see, that should be mighty encouraging to you and I today. It should be wonderfully encouraging to us this morning that a worm of a man could become a prince in the eyes of God. Now, you're going to have to excuse me. I'm going to get a bit undignified, if you will, this morning. I'm going to slip off this coat. Because it is a wonderful blessing that I have to, that it's hot in here, and not because of the radiators, amen. It's nice to be hot from the sun. Again, I said this morning that we were able to turn the air conditioner on in the car, but I must confess that the reason the air conditioner had to come on was secondary to the fact that it was hot. We had to turn it on because some people didn't want their hair messed up. Now, I'm not going to say any names. Obviously, you know it wasn't me. Amen? I had fixed mine at the house, and it stuck. So nevertheless, encouraging words that we find here in the life of this man named Jacob, who is considered to be a worm, even in his descendancy. And then God will call this man a prince, if you will. Mighty encouraging words. But I want us to go back a bit and look at the name of Jacob. Jacob means he grasped the heel. Jacob means he cheats. The name Jacob means supplanter, it means twister, it means cheater, it means con artist, it means liar, it means deceitful. Simply put, the name Jacob means a deceitful person. Is that enough definitions to understand what type of person that Jacob was in his early days? With all of that type of description of who and what Jacob is, God chose this man. This is remarkable from your picture that you sent this morning with the message that we're preaching today. It is remarkable if you stop and think about how God's hand works in the lives of those that are around us and worked in the life of Jacob, that I believe that you and I today can probably greater relate to this man named Jacob more than we can that mighty prophet of God, Elijah. Now, guys, I love preaching on Elijah. I love preaching on Elisha. I love preaching on the faith of Enoch and the faith of Noah and even the faith of Abel, as we have in these past several weeks during this series. But now when we get down to the nitty-gritty, if you will, or as the old saying is, down to the brass tacks, We see here that Jacob was chosen of God, a worm of a man, one that grasped the heel, a cheater, a supplanter, a twister, a con artist, a liar, a deceiver, a deceitful person. God chose this man to become a prince. To become a prince. You would have to stop and you would have to look that what God did is that God chose this man to make a prince. He went from being a worm to a wonder. Now you say, well, preacher, how do we line up with that? How do we line up with that this morning? How does that become us? Guys, we need to understand that God doesn't love us because we're valuable. We are valuable because God loves us. We must develop a depending faith, if you will, just like Jacob did in his years. Jacob had to develop a depending faith. It was not something that he was born with by any means. The world often speaks of this phrase codependency or being a codependent upon something. But you know what we're going to learn today? What we need to learn? We need to learn to develop a dependency, not a codependency on the Lord Jesus Christ, but a dependency on Him. God did not love Jacob for what he was, but He loved him for what he could be. And you know, the Lord never gives up on us very easily. I would have to say that we probably give up on others and even give up on ourselves, if you will, long before God would ever give up on us. So there's three things we're going to see this morning about Jacob. Number one, we're going to see that Jacob was wretched. He was a worm of a man. Number two, we're going to see that Jacob wrestled. I know I don't normally give you the outline firsthand, but I'm changing things up a little bit today. It must be the heat. But number three, we're going to see that Jacob worshipped. We're looking at a depending faith this morning in the life of Jacob. Look with me, if you will, how Jacob was wretched. We'll still be in the book of Genesis. There's much to say about a person's upbringing. There's much to say of how a person was raised. And it's really said that you can never get away from how you were raised. That you never get above your raising. You never get from it. So I want you to notice first and foremost, you already understand that his name is Jacob. You already understand that he's by his name alone. He's a deceiver. He's a liar. He's a cheat. But let's possibly look, why is Jacob wretched? Number one, I want us to look at his home life this morning. First off, Jacob had a carnal father. Look in Genesis chapter 25 with me. Genesis and chapter 25 in the first part of verse 28. Well, look at Jacob's home life. He had a carnal father, first and foremost, that we need to see here. Genesis 25 verse 28, the Bible says, and Isaac loved Esau. He loved Esau. Why did he love him? Because he did eat of his venison. Beloved, you say, what does that mean? A carnal father. This is a man that loved the other child more than he did the second child, or the more than he did the younger child, Jacob. And he loved him, though. It wasn't for anything spectacular. It wasn't because he was a ginger. It wasn't because he was a hairy man. It wasn't because he was a man's man. Listen, he had a carnal father, and he loved Esau for one reason, and one reason alone. Because he provided him meat. Because of Christ. What carnal means? Carnal means flesh. Okay? If you look, you know, you take the word carnival. Vol means fest or festival, festive. Carnival means a flesh fest. It's what that word means. And we have the same thing in today's world. But Jacob's daddy was only interested in the things of the flesh. And there are fathers in the world today who are only interested in their son. They're only interested in their daughters and what they can relive through them, or how they can brag about them as the water cooler. And I say shame on those carnal fathers today for that particular reason. These children in the world, we see it, they're being raised up with a feeling of loneliness just because they're wanted for only that which they can produce. Another trophy on the wall, another plaque on the wall, another record broken on the rugby pitch or on the football field or whatever it may be. That is the picture that we find that Jacob is raised up with this dad who is a number one, a carnal father. That was what we see in his home life. Not only did he have a carnal father, but guys, Jacob had a conniving mother. Look there in Genesis 25, verse 28. The Bible says, but Rebekah loved Jacob. Now, you know the story. Rebekah is the one that really made Jacob a mama's boy, if you will. You know, it was his mother's idea, if you remember, when Jacob stole the blessing, robbed the blessing away from Esau. You see, Esau sacrificed his birthright because he wanted to eat the porridge or the pottage that Jacob was making when he was, quote-unquote, starving to death. So he gave up his birthright, but his blessing that was supposed to go to the firstborn, his blessing was taken from him. Even though it was prophesied, it was taken from him, and it came by the idea. It came to fruition from a conniving mother who sent him in there to deceive his father with draping on the skins to make him feel like he was hairy, to putting on his brother's cloak to make him smell like the wilderness. So we see that Jacob's home life, he's a wretched man, he had a carnal father, he had a conniving mother, but look at this, Jacob had a contemptible brother. Look back in chapter 25 and look with me in the next verse 29. And Jacob sought pottage, and Esau came from the field, and he was faint. And Esau said to Jacob, "Feed me, I pray thee, with that same red pottage, for I am faint." Therefore was his name called Edom. And he said here in verse 31, he said, and Jacob said, "Sell me this day thy birthright." And Esau said, "Behold, I am at the point to die. What profit shall this birthright do to me?" He had a contemptible brother. You say, well, what does that mean? He didn't care about his birthright. He could care less about that which God had given him. And he was willingly, so effortlessly, just to give it up so that he could have some of that meat. Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 16 says, "Lest there be any fornicator or profane person," watch this, "as Esau, who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." You say, well, the preacher, you know, he says he's going to die. Let me ask you something. How many of us in here, maybe when the preacher gets a little long-winded, which I know is rare, but you know, when he gets a little long-winded and you sit there and you feel those things down here in your lower section, just below your heart, and you know, just above your waistline, and it says something like this. You know, you say, what is that? That's your stomach growling because it's empty, right? Amen? And then the preacher's finally done, and then Brother Jason comes up and has a half hour of announcements, amen. I'm just kidding, amen. But I'm just saying, you know, how many times have we been in that situation? We're hungry, we haven't eaten in a few hours, and then we say, man, I'm starving to death. Now, I'm going to go ahead and tell you this, guys. If you are given in that direction to where you just feel like you're starving to death, don't go on a trip with him, amen? Because you got to make him stop to eat. And he's like, "You're always eating." I was like, "Yeah, no, I get hungry, amen." And I'm picking just a little bit this morning. But we have that tendency to say, "Man, I am starving to death, and I cannot get past the point that Esau was not really nigh unto death." And the reason I say that, because by inspiration, God has given unto the Apostle Paul in Hebrews 12:16, just to make the comment, "Who for one morsel of meat sold his birthright." Esau cared not for the things of God, but he rather cared for the things of the world, for the things of the flesh. So here we have this guy named Jacob. His home life is with a carnal father, a conniving mother, with a contemptible brother. So in a nutshell, Jacob's heritage in itself was against him. Let's look at his life. Jacob's nature was to connive. His nature was to lie. His nature was to double cross. Failure seemed to follow Jacob wherever he went. Even in the hourglass of time was against Jacob. He was 70 years old before God made him a prince. One redeeming factor of Jacob, and this is where I hope and pray that you really kind of sink your teeth into the message today. One redeeming factor for Jacob was that down in his heart, Jacob had a desire. Jacob had a hunger to know God. Yes, he failed. Yes, he floundered. Yes, his family did not help him. But down in his heart, somewhere, Jacob had a desire to know God. Esau didn't even want anything to do with God. I mean, God chose Jacob because of what he could do with him. I mean, there was at least a desire, a will to want to know who God was, even though he was floundering and he was failing in every which way there is. You see, Paul said this. Paul said, "For if there be first a willing mind, it is accepted according to that a man hath, and not according to that he hath not." Guys, some people cannot be used of God, not because they are wretched, but they're just simply not willing. I mean, I bet you every night Jacob went to bed and he cried out to God because I want to do right. I want to do better. I want to be better. I want to be honest. I want to be upright. I want to be known for more than just a deceiver. I want to know you, God. There's no doubt that Jacob hated who and what he was. So much so that he cried unto God every night. Every day he would continue in the same ways because it was his nature. Beloved, God cannot do anything with us until we know who we are, what we are, and how we really are. Romans 7:18 says, "For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, dwelleth no good thing. For to will is present with me, but how to perform it, perform that which is good, I find not." Paul says, listen, in me there's nothing good. I know this. And man, I want to do the right thing. But inside of me, there is nothing. I cannot find how to do right but God. Amen. But God. So we find that Jacob is wretched. Everything was against him. Jacob had to admit who he was. Jacob had to admit that he was a worm and that he was wretched. And when wretched Jacob wanted God, therefore he wrestled. Look back in Genesis 32 with me. He wrestled. I ask you this morning, how important is it for you to know God? How willing are you today to know Him intimately, to know Him personally, to know Him passionately, to know the power of our risen Savior, to know God and the performance and providence that He can give us in our life in this world today? How important is it to you this morning? Well, we'll see how it was important to Jacob. 32, Genesis 32 and verse 24. Bible says, "And Jacob was left alone. And there wrestled a man with him until the breaking of day. And when he saw that he prevailed not against him, he touched the hollow of his thigh. And the hollow of Jacob's thigh was out of joint as he wrestled with him. And he said, Let me go, for the day breaketh. And he said, I will not let thee go, except thou bless me." Now get this picture with me this morning. We find here that Jacob is wrestling. Jacob's wrestling. And it's the man he's wrestling that says, "Let me go." And Jacob says, "I ain't doing it. I'm not letting you go until you bless me. It ain't going to happen." Jacob says, "No, sir, I'm holding on with everything that I have." He even touched the hollow of his thigh and his hip joint. His joint comes out of joint. Now, trust me, I've had a hip joint pop out before in a car accident. It's the worst pain that I've ever felt in my entire life for 5 hours. He said, "I'm not letting go." He said, "Who's this man that he's wrestling with? Is it an angel?" No, this was the angel of the Lord. We know who this is. And he said unto him to let him go. And he says, "I'm not going to let him go." Jacob had a hunger for the Lord. It was the angel of the Lord. We know who he wrestled with. It was the angel of the Lord. He wrestled with the pre-incarnate Jesus Christ, the appearance of God, the angel of Jehovah. And friend, God brought Jacob to the end of himself. Jacob had to get over who and what he was. He had to get over himself. And this is many of people's problem today. But guys, it's the same solution. If we can just get past us and simply get over ourselves in order to have a depending faith upon Christ. Not just simply realizing we can't do it on our own. Jacob was brought to the end of himself, number one, through seclusion. Seclusion. Look there in verse 24. We started out. It says, "And Jacob was left alone." Beloved, we live busy lives. And listen, I am guilty as charged. I have a list on my calendar, my daily calendar of things that I have to do every single day. And literally, it seems like every hour is filled up. And it's just what has to be done. It's just part of life. And everybody in here is like that to some extent. But we live in a world today where we're so busy, 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 some people just don't schedule in the needed spiritual things that we have. People don't like to be left alone in the world today. They don't like to be left alone. They despise any type of quiet time. And too often, people can't even sit in the room without having the telly on or the radio on or in the car. I used to preach this all the time about being in the car. What you ought to do, get in the car, you ought to shut everything off. Driving the car. I don't listen to the radio. I'm not saying the radio is bad. Well, what you listen to could be bad, but nevertheless, I'm just telling you, take that time. You got a 20-minute drive. Just do it in silence. You say, why? Because it causes you to self-reflect on who and what you are. But see, people like amusement today. The word, the letter A means without. I mentioned about the hip dislocation. You suffer a diagnosis for that 99.9% of the time. It's called avascular necrosis. Avascular means without vascularity. So amusement, number one, A means without. Muse means thought. So we live in a world today that wants to be and seeks to be amused. They want to live in a life where they don't have to think. And even in churches today, people don't want to have to think about who and what they are and what the Scriptures are. Has to be a time, guys, when we get alone with God. Why? Because, listen, you will never be any better in public than you are in private. And God wants to get alone with us. He wants to get alone with us to speak to us. He wants to get alone with us to deal with us. So God brought him to an end of himself through seclusion. He brought him to an end of himself through a struggle. The Bible says that he wrestled with a man. When he got along with God, God began to make something out of him. God brought him to the end of himself through a surrender. The Bible says until the breaking of day. Now, does the phrase saying uncle, does that translate here? You know, when I was a boy, your older cousin, or if you had an older brother or something like that, they would grab a hold of you and they'd put you in a headlock and they'd lock you down, or an uncle would. I had uncles that did this all the time. And they'd lock you down in a headlock, right? And you'd be trying to get out of that headlock and move, and it wasn't happening at all. And it'd get you in a headlock and they'd say, say uncle. And the whole reality was that you were surrendering. When you said uncle, I don't know where it comes from, by the way. Maybe you can look that up in between services today. But saying uncle was saying, okay, I surrender, I give up, you win. And, Jacob wasn't going to do that. It was still the breaking of day. And Jacob just wasn't going to say uncle. He wasn't going to give up. He wanted God, yet he refused to surrender to God until he was touched, until he got a blessing. Jacob did everything that he knew to do. He did everything out of his own. All the things that he could do, he did. And then came to God. He wrestled with God. Do you know what? You know what that reminds me of? You know, when Christ says unto Jacob there in the chapter in Genesis 32, you know what it reminds me of? When he says, let me go. Now, I'm going to ask you this question. Was God really saying, let me go? I mean, he said it. Yes, I understand. But did he mean it? You know what it reminds me of? It reminds me when Christ was resurrected. And on the road to Emmaus was speaking unto the couple, and he said, and Jesus Christ says, but they constrained him, saying, abide with us, for it is toward evening, and the day is far spent. Watch this. And he went in to tarry with them. But we understand that he made as he would go further. The Scripture says that he made as he would go further, meaning he faked them out. Jesus is walking with them and expounding all these things, and they didn't even know it was Christ, but their heart was burning within them. And then he acted like he was going to just keep on going. And they said, no. You know what constrained means? It means to hold dear and near. It's like a super kutch, amen? Hold them in. They constrained him. He said, no, stay. And he went in there. Jacob said, I will not let go except thou bless me. Jacob is not bargaining with the Lord. He did not, as he did with Esau. He's now begging the Lord for a blessing. And this is what the Lord wanted. The Lord wanted Jacob to come to the end of himself. Jacob was depending on his own legs. When the Lord touched one of them, he had to depend upon Christ and only him. And I want you to imagine, he's holding on to him. The Lord touched that hip and it popped out. And he's still holding on to him. He did not let go. He was depending on Christ. What do you have in your life this morning that you're depending on? You see, the Lord wants you to allow Him to take over. Paul said in Philippians 3:3, for we are the circumcision which worship God in the Spirit and rejoice in Christ and have no confidence in the flesh. Jacob could only depend on God now. He lost that strength that he may have had in himself. Jacob went from wretched, and then he wrestled, and finally, he worshiped. I'm going to read Hebrews 11:21. You stay in Genesis 32. But Hebrews 11:21 says, by faith, listen to me, by faith, when he was dying, blessed both the sons of Joseph and worshiped. You see, Jacob now worshiped God, depending, leaning on him for the rest of his life. God crippled him so that he may crown him. God broke him so that he may bless him. In Genesis chapter 32, verse 27, the Bible says, and he said unto him, what is thy name? And he said, Jacob. Now, Jacob knows his own name. And mind you, God knows his name because he knows everything. Amen? He just wanted Jacob to admit that he was a conniver, a deceiver, a liar, a deceitful person. He wanted him to admit who and what he was. He was a worm. Just like when he asked Adam where he was. Same principle. God only wanted them to confess who and what they were in their life. God knew where Adam was. Where art thou? He knew where he was. Are you wondering today why you may be in the circumstances that you're in? Situations that you may be living through? I mean, in the end, we know that the Lord allowed Jacob to be with Laban so the cheater could be cheated. And it took 70 years to make Jacob a prince. Lord, can I give you some encouraging words? Jacob's failure was not final. In Genesis 32, and we'll be finished here in a second, verse 28, the Bible says, and he said, thy name shall be called no more Jacob, but Israel. For as a prince hast thou power with God and with men, and hast prevailed. Jacob asked him and said, tell me, I pray thee, thy name. And he said, wherefore is it that thou dost ask after my name? And he blessed him there. And Jacob called the name of the place Peniel, for I have seen God face to face, and my life is preserved. Beloved, we need to learn to depend on Christ, to trust in Christ alone. Proverbs 3 tells us in verse 5, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy path. Jacob worshiped God, leaning upon His staff. And when it comes to time to pass from here to the hereafter, the only thing that's going to matter in the life that we lived on this earth is our relationship with God. A dependency in this world upon the Lord and the Lord Himself. On things of this life, the things of this life will not help. It will not amount to a hill of beans, if you will, in the world to come. But our relationship with the Lord is what is important. How we depend on Christ today will be the measure and weight for eternity. Jacob had no choice. He had to be broken to be blessed. He had to be crippled to be crowned. And I'm here to tell you today, in our heart, in our lives spiritually, we got to come to the end of ourself and whatever ability that we may have or think we have, and understand that it comes from God and God alone. Beloved, one day soon, we're going to meet the Lord. Forever we will be with the Lord. And I'm looking forward to that great and glorious day. But until then, we need to learn, as Jacob did, to live a life of depending faith. Will you bow your heads this morning? Father in heaven, we do thank you for the opportunity that you've given us here today, and I pray that you would convey the thought, the movement of the Holy Spirit, Holy Scripture into the lives of everyone present this morning. Pray, Father, that you'd bless them, Lord God, and touch them in a mighty, wonderful way. We do ask for your help. We pray for your mercy. Pray that you would just touch each and every one of us. And let us look at the life of Jacob. And yes, Lord, we can combine all the characters that we've seen thus far and how we can exhibit each one of their faith at a different time. But Father, let the one, this dependent faith, Lord, let it be one that we soon not forget. We love you, Lord. We trust you with everything that you're going to do. We trust you with the souls that you're going to save. We trust you with the opportunities that you're going to give. Lord, at the very end, we're going to give you praise, glory, and honor. In the precious name of Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen and amen. I do hope and pray the Lord was good to you this morning. I hope that He has blessed you in a great way through His Word. Amen. Obviously, and not mine. Very thankful for what the Lord has done for us this morning. Amen. We're going to go to our final hymn of the day.